Folks, I hope you're ready for a Pinot Noir tasting here. You are listening to Have Wine, Will Travel and the Adventures of Dr. Vino. And we are at Handley Cellars. Ella Handley is sitting here with me. It's great to be with you. And Pinot Noir, you have four of them on the table. Do I look thirsty?
You look thirsty. Yes. We have four Pinots, and they're fairly different. The softest one is from Mendocino County General, not just Anderson Valley. And all the other ones are from Anderson Valley. Some are estate from here, our own vineyard. And I have a personal vineyard at my house that we have quite a bit of Pinot Noir vineyards that we get to play in.
Let's take each one and let's talk about it, because I am finding out that even within 1 or 2 miles of vineyards of each other, they're totally different.
Absolutely. And in fact, at my own house, my upper vineyard is only a stone's throw from the other one. Soils are very different. They tend to ripen pretty close together, but it depends on the year. The lower one gets a little more heat, and the upper one gets a little more air drainage.
Pretty fascinating, because as you come up this valley, it's only 10, 11 miles long, and every mile seems to be a different mini climate.
Absolutely. The Boonville end of the valley is warm, and things tend to get ripe much sooner than the colder end. And where the winery is, it's a little on the edge of whether we really are at the deep end, which means we're cold a lot.
But you're towards the coast more.
We're very much more close to the coast. We get a lot of cold wind. We get a lot of fog. It allows us to be picking Chardonnays with a minerality rather than really overripe ones. We've replanted some new Chards, and they tend to be a little more verbose than the ones that have been here for 25 years, and they're kind of getting tired.
Let's talk about your reserve Pinot Noir. Now, that doesn't come out every vintage, and that is a very special wine.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a state reserve Pinot Noir. The structure in this vineyard is a little bit less forward, and it's nice fruit all the way through, from some of the red, some of the spicy, all the way through to a little bit of the darker flavors. But there's a lot of structure in that one. It's not made every year.
Well, folks, we're going to enjoy a Pinot Noir tasting, but Chef just brought some great food and wine pairing to the table, and Miller and I have our hands full here. I hope you're hungry. A couple of dishes, four different Pinots, compare and contrast.
I would say some of the bigger Pinots, the estate one, I would want to drink with something that has a little bit of fat in it, and whereas some of the other ones are more floral and a little more delicate, and so I wouldn't be going with red meat. Maybe I might go with a chicken or a rabbit. You know, I know a lot of people don't like to eat bunnies, but they're kind of yummy here every once in a while.
All right. Well, folks, Chef has a grin on his face because he brought two dishes to the table. So he was reading your mind beforehand here. And it's time for some great food and wine here on Have Wine, Will Travel. Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Well, folks, you are listening to Have Wine, Will Travel. My name is Doc Cummings, and we are in Sonoma County. And, folks, whenever I come to Sonoma County, I feel like I'm not going to leave, and I keep talking to myself about it. And the more Pinot Noirs I have from the Sonoma coast and Russian River, I have to say that this is home. And this is Anthony Beckman sitting here with me. And, Anthony, you've been making some great wines here at Belletto for quite a while, and we're going to be talking about your estate Pinot, but also a single vineyard compared. In contrast,
you know, the 2012 Russian River Estate Pinot is really our flagship wine. This is a wine that you'll see outside of Sonoma County. It's a little bit of a larger production. The second wine I'm going to pour is our 2012 Sexton Hill Vineyard. This is, again, a coastal vineyard. It's about 10 miles from the ocean. Heading out Bodega Highway, you go about halfway to the town of Bodega, and then you hang a left and you go up a steep hill to 950 feet of elevation, and it comes down an incredibly steep hillside at about 30% grade at times. So when you're walking rows, it's definitely a leg burner. You'll get to the top and have to have a few breaths and then come back down, and then, you know, there's three blocks, so you walk up 6 times and walk down 6 times to do your sampling. So it's a good workout when you're sampling those vineyards.
Really, what's interesting here is what you're describing is Sonoma Coast is a huge asset, but now you go up 900 feet, that's another huge asset. Let's really explain what the coastal influence does to these grapes.
Sure. I mean, the biggest coastal influence is fog and cool temperatures. I mean, the ocean is so close. Fog will run down the low-lying areas. So for our instance, the biggest influences of fog for our region is about 10 miles south of us, which is the Petaluma Gap. The coastal range sort of stops, and there's this gap, basically, and the fog just rushes through. And that's probably the biggest coastal influence. The second coastal influence more specific to us, is through the town of Bodega, through the harbor, and up Bodega Highway. And that really is what hits us for the Sexton Hill Vineyard and the Cider Ridge Vineyard, is that sort of influx tunnel of fog. The second, our third factor we really hit is wind, especially for our Burnside Road Vineyard, which sits on the very top of the hill. Wind off the ocean really shuts vines down, so they slow way down. They have little pores on their leaves, and these pores close up mostly to preserve water. Vines will stop for a couple days on end when you get above about 10 miles an hour, and wind can really rip through this section of Russian River Valley and Sonoma Coast. We're in an interesting location, as these vineyards could be either labeled Sonoma Coast or Russian River Valley. The two appellations overlay each other in this instant. And for our 2013, we will actually take three vineyards, the Burnside Road, the Sexton Hill, and the Cider Ridge for Pinot Noir, and create a Sonoma Coast blend, which is very exciting. Because of the tannin structure of these wines, we'll leave that in barrel for 16 months. So it'll be something that we hold over. It just needs time for these tannins to mature and become a little bit more approachable. It's one of the reasons we haven't done it until now, is I'm tasting through all these wines, and it's just got such a grip to it that I felt like if we're going to do this, we have to do a 16-month program.
Well, folks, I feel very excited to and honored to be drinking these wines, and Chef just brought a couple dishes to the table. Anthony and I are going to enjoy some great food and wine pairings. Pass that bottle over to me. I'm going to pour another glass.
Yeah, no problem.
You are listening to Have Wine Will Travel and the Adventures of Dr. Pino, and this is one I'm going to remember. This is a beautiful meal here. We are sitting Richard Reddington and a restaurant called Red, and we're having a great time here today. We're really sharing some stories that really we need to share into the show here. Richard, tell us about this dish and tell us about your experiences with it.
Well, it's a barbecued pork buns, which is a take on Chinese dim sum, and some of the food that we do in the bar here is, you know, we do fish tacos, stuff that I like to eat on my days off. And so I was going eating a lot of dim sum in San Francisco and started messing around with steam buns, hoisin, making different sauces and whatnot. I put this on the menu and it just, you know, word spread through the valley, like, you got to try out these pork buns. Because, I mean, there's no, well, I shouldn't say there's no good, but I haven't had a lot of Chinese food in Napa Valley, let's put it that way. So
we're raving about this dish.
I was just telling the story about how the French Laundry kitchen, for whatever reason, they get sick of cooking all that really fancy food. So I sent them down the pork buns a lot. And so I went away with the chef, Corey Lee. We basically made, I cooked one night, he cooked another night. He made potato puree with white truffles, and I made Chinese pork bun.
This is bar food, and this is something very special. A lot of thought and process went into putting this on your menu.
I was messing around with just doing ribs, too, and I've had some good ribs lately, but I'm like, how can we pull it off in the bar? And so then it's like, I don't want the mess and the ribs and the bones and the wet naps and all this stuff. So now I'm trying to do it in a way where sort of debone them in a way where you don't need to like pick them up and make a big mess, but still have the flavors of that. We do pot stickers. We do a little bit of Asian food that's in the bar, not in the restaurant. If you come in, just say you listen to the radio show. And you
bop over to the bar there and
repeat.
Yeah, and repeat as necessary.
It's a beautiful match. I noticed that your glass is empty. We need to get you another glass of wine.
Sounds good.